that?
Tui and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, blah, and blah. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Oh, it's gangbusters.
Damn a shake in FL. In FL and Dave. Damn a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. Happy holidays to you wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 41 of the Dave Damashek football program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. And today, I want to take some phone calls, Rank. That's where my head's at on this. And if you're willing, we should roll in some calls. I've been wanting to do it. Welcome in the Czech Republic and the Rank amateurs, hear what they have to say and answer their questions and kibitz with them. You know, one thing we talked about at the end of episode number 40, which I encourage you, nay, demand that you go back and dig up. We kibitzed with C.J. Spiller, who proved to be a delight. We got into, at the end of it, what's the best Christmas carol? Real quick, what do you think the best Christmas carol is?
Well, first of all, boss, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course.
This is my Christmas gift, is being able to do an extra podcast this week. My favorite Christmas carol,
while you think about it, let's play Adam Rank's theme music, too, by the way. We forgot to do that.
Adam Rank is here.
Sorry about that. There you go. Go, please, proceed. That's good stuff. That's not a Christmas carol, though.
Not a Christmas carol. I'm going to say this is one song I look forward to hearing every Christmas is The Waitress's Christmas Wrapping.
What?
You know the song, you've never heard Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses?
No. Oh, I didn't even know what you were talking about. I thought you were saying some local restaurant you go to in Orange County, the waitresses sing some ditty or something. I have no idea. How's
it
go?
You've never heard Christmas
Wrapping
by The Waitresses.
Maybe I have. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
You can sing it, and then
I'm not singing it,
furrowing your brow at me.
No, that's exactly what I'm going to do. What is yours? Let's hear you.
White Christmas.
Well, now you went too serious.
That's a good one. White Christmas is a good one.
Is that the preeminent
I like the Paul McCartney one. Bong, 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 bong. I think that's a pretty good one.
I have somebody.
Crosby doing White Christmas, though. Can't beat that.
My wife's boss contends that the number one Christmas carol of all times is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Oh, no.
Like, that's the number one over Silent Night, Oh Holy Night. Anything. I could think. I don't even know if that would crack the top 10.
I always hated in elementary school that I was the only Jewish kid in my elementary school, and the teacher, she would go around and we'd have to sing Christmas carols, and about 2/3 of the way through the class she would suddenly say, all right, now everybody, it's time to sing a song for David. And everybody go like, objectify
way to,
me.
Way to me call feel, me out, yeah.
Oh, I feel so small and awful now that you're
That's
doing
a
it.
Terrible thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't.
Also, hey, you know what? Like, hey, I know we're all having a good time talking about Christmas,
sorry,
singing
but
some songs. Hey, now we got to, you know, we got to kowtow to the, you know.
Have a legal responsibility.
Single Jewish kid in class, so try not to resent him too much. She might as well have said, like, you know, like, it's the kid who's, like, allergic to wheat, so you can't have birthday cake. Like, hey, Ethan, you know, we would have cake, everybody, but Ethan's here. You guys, you get nothing.
All right, guys, we have our first call on the line.
How is that possible?
Kevin.
Kevin's on the line?
Yep, Kevin's on the line.
Kevin, go for Adam Rank.
Well, Dave, first of all, I just want to say I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Of Adam Rank, or are you in the Czech Republic, or are you a Rank amateur?
Firmly in the Czech Republic.
He could have been nicer about it. You don't have to say, I prefer, but firm. No, it's firm. There's no chance. All right.
Huge, huge fan.
Thanks, Kevin.
I was calling. I want to know what y'all think. Where would y'all rank the various play-by-play color teams currently on Sundays. I know you love listing things.
Yes, I do. I do love that.
So yeah. I wanted to know maybe where how you would rank them, because there are some, I think, that really are good and some that are not.
What's your answer? What's your answer ahead of time, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. Obviously, the Sunday night team is probably...
Well, to me, yeah, that's exactly right. I think Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are the best. I know a lot of people don't love Collinsworth, but I think he's terrific, and Michaels is the gold standard, is he not, Rank?
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad Kevin thought this out well enough in advance. Like, well, I don't know. You know what? You know the one with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman? It's not that one. The one that is, you know the ones that it's got to be our favorite. It's got to be the one with Chris Myers and Tim Ryan.
Yeah,
just
that's
because
the most
of
ironic
the dynamic.
One.
Yeah. Just because of the dynamic.
Yeah, Chris Ryan seems pretty square and cheesy, and Tim Ryan is no-nonsense, all machismo, like, talk about it. Hey, why do I got to sit in here with this plastic head? Why do I got to sit in here with that?
Do you think he whispers on the broadcast like he does on a Sirius station? That was going for a first.
Well, and I'll tell you, the greatest of all time is the trio of Meredith, Gifford, and Cosell. You can't beat that. Locally, I loved Cope, Myron Cope, growing up with Billy Hillgrove and Jack Fleming before that in Pittsburgh. Currently, where is Gus Johnson? Is he doing games for Fox right now? Because to be honest, Rank and I sit at the NFL Network and watch the games every Sunday, so we don't get to hear all the local teams. I'm not a huge fan of Jim Nance, but I do like Phil Simms quite a bit. I think Phil Simms is another guy who gets a bad rap.
And what about Joe Buck?
We said no. I already said forget them.
Not a fan of that.
I have to say, personally, I feel like Joe Buck is probably the celebrity I'd most want to punch. You know, I think he has a very low likability factor.
Well, you know, our country could get out of debt if Joe Buck would just agree to allow people to punch him in the face for like $50 a shot. Donate that money to America. We would be swimming.
Joe Buck earns his keep in my book, though. I loved what he did. Some people actually even badmouth him for that. But I loved in the World Series on the home run call. He's like, we'll see you tomorrow night, just like his old man did when Kirby Puckett hit the home run. I thought that was a great call.
Great.
So, he clearly likes baseball, is tolerant of football.
Yeah. Yeah, he took a big step back. He's never completely dug himself out of the hole in my book when he piously, when he went up on Mount Pius after Randy Moss pretended. He didn't actually moon the Lambeau crowd, but he faked like he was mooning the crowd. That is disgusting, Joe Buck declared. Joe Buck, you're a 30-year-old regular guy. Lighten up, would you, fella? Is it that vile?
And then you're going to start your own show on cable and bring in Artie Lang.
And then get offended.
What?
Wait a second. You're roasting me on my show? All right, Kevin. Where are you calling by the way?
Hey, what's that?
Where are you calling from?
Currently in Austin, Texas.
Oh, well.
Are we big in Texas?
Well, wherever I am, I certainly tell people about Dave Damashek as much as I can.
You're a sweetheart, Kevin. You're a sweetheart, and you're doing the Lord's work with
it. I just want to thank you. You know, I used to live in New York. I'd sit on the subway crying with laughter. Oh, and so it got me through a real dark time personally.
Ah, terrific. Well, I'm glad. I'm not glad to hear about your dark time, but any help we provide.
You.
Sure thing, Kevin, thanks, and thanks for the call. Stay on the lookout on the Twitter. I like how this is going so far, rolling calls. All right, have a good one down there in Texas. Happy holidays. There goes Kevin. Next up, we have Q.
Cue him up.
What's going on?
It's all good, Dave. All good. From Liverpool, England here.
Wow, Q Liverpool. Is this a real accent, or are you doing it?
Real. Huge fan of yours, huge fan of Hank, handsome Hank, you know, listen every week.
Excellent. Thanks there, Q. Wait, so you're a fan of mine and Handsome Hanks. Are you forgetting anybody?
Maybe Rank a little bit, you know. Not so much. just kidding. He's kind of Ranks too.
What's going on over in England today?
Not too much. It's weather's a bit crap, you know, as usual.
Sure.
But, you know, big racism row in the real football or football world, as you guys say, you know, in the soccer world. But it's all good. Enjoying the Chargers win on Monday night, you know, or on Sunday night for you guys.
I can actually chime in on that, Q. I'm a Manchester United fan, so I know about you guys in Liverpool and whatnot. Yeah. What happened today?
I'm actually a United fan in Liverpool, so I'm basically say, you know, how can I put it, a Yankees fan in Boston, you know, that sort of thing. I'm a United fan too, so it's good to hear about that, you know. Fantastic.
That does sound, I got to say, that does sound lousy on your part. I don't want to offend you, Q, but, you know,
yeah.
you're in Liverpool. Don't you have to stand by that team? That I take offense to that because Liverpool is sort of a small, is the equivalent
like
of a small
Steve
market.
Like our pal Steve Smith, who rooted for the 49ers instead of the Rams.
You grow up, you support different clubs. You got to stick with them. You can't abandon them just because you live somewhere now, you know. You got to stick with the team, Dave. You know, you live in LA. You still support the Steelers, hey?
Yeah, I suppose you're right. All right, touche.
Burn.
Bitten by my own snake. So you're a Chargers guy?
I love the Chargers. Yeah, San Diego all the way. Never been, but I just, you know, I love their style of play. I love their, you know, the high powered offense. So pick them as my team. You know, still going to stick with them through the low times now. So, but hopefully, you know, we still got a shot at the playoffs.
I said in a previous podcast that I think the Chargers are going to go and make the playoffs. They win out the Broncos.
No. Denver's schedule is just, you know, ridiculously easy. Tim Tebow used
up all his luck already.
Rank, come on. The schedule, come on. They've got coming up at Buffalo. Buffalo can't beat anyone. Me and my friends can beat Buffalo at the moment, so... You know, we've got that and Kansas City, you know, God knows what team will turn up for them. So, fingers crossed, but I'm not getting my hopes up, really. But get rid of North next year. I think we've got a chance, you know.
Frank, love to talk about America and everything, and now the Brit is getting the better of you, the American, in this little debate here.
I like how he casually tossed aside the Chiefs. Like, oh, remember that team that beat the undefeated Packers? There's no way they could rally. There's no way they could rally to beat the Broncos. But what I really want to know from Q, how hard would it be for you right now to go find a bag of pretzels at the store?
Ah, good question.
It can't be done. Simply can't be done, you know?
Handsome Hank says that you can't buy pretzels in England and you actually are supporting this?
Dave, you know, he's telling the truth. Handsome Hank, you know, he's a bona fide Brit. Can't be done.
Wow, I can't believe what kind of country, supposedly sophisticated society doesn't offer pretzels. I don't understand this.
Pretzels aren't all that, you know. What pretzels? What is it? A piece of dough that's
They're
hard?
They're crunchy,
you know?
And salty and delicious. End of story. That's
it. We don't get pretzels over here, no. I don't think it's a big loss, really. Not a huge fan.
Cut it out, Q. You're pushing your luck. Do you have any questions for us today, Q?
I'm just a huge, huge fan of your podcast. I mean, it's quite difficult being a Brit following American sports, you know, over here. So I was wondering, do you follow any, what's your favorite part of the UK? I mean, what, do you follow any sports in the UK or what's your favorite part apart from the accent?
Well, I've paid a visit to London a couple of times in my life. Beautiful city, wonderful place.
I love London. London's fantastic.
Yeah, would love to, you know, of course, I don't think my life at this point is going to ever take me out there. But wish in my youth, I wish I had a year or 6 months or something like that to live over there. Listen, I'll give the obvious answer. What I love about it is I love the beer. I love the beer. The pubs are great. And, you know, you always say, I don't know. I've become a snob and maybe pretentious about it. Mm-hmm. People in America who drink Guinness, I scoff at. They're pretentious in my book because that's not the way Guinness tastes. Guinness is it's room temperature, mm-hmm. and it's it's positively the greatest beer there is.
And it's not English.
They've got to cut you short. That's Irish.
Yes,
Guinness
that's
is from
Irish.
Ireland.
I know, but they still have it in English pubs. Don't shake your head at me.
I'm going to shake my head.
Don't shake your head at me, Rick. I've been there.
My favorite thing about England's the champagne.
No, listen, I said the beer is what I said, but all the beer is delicious over there. I love going into those pubs and the...
It's the traditional quaint British village, isn't it? That's
how dare you?
It's the image you're...
You're really, I'll tell you, Q, you're really pushing it.
I like this Q. All right, Q. Listen, I appreciate you guys. It's lovely of you to take the time to drop us a line. What is it over there? 10 o'clock at night or so?
20 past 10, yeah.
20 past 10. How about that?
Looking forward for my daily, not daily, weekly dose of Huey and Applesauce, Dave.
Excellent, excellent.
We're trying to do it more this week. We're going to try to pump out a bunch.
And good luck to your Chargers this weekend, and have a happy holidays, Q.
You too.
Take good care. Keep an eye out on Twitter. We're going to keep on doing it. He didn't need to say goodbye to you.
No, it's fine. As a former Chargers,
bye, Rank.
Thanks, Q. As a former Chargers season ticket holder, I would have felt he would have done. You know, he would have had more of a kinship with me.
Now,
fair enough. How many? What's up?
You know what it is.
Well,
here's
what
the problem.
I want to know. The line's busy. How many lines do we have into this thing? Because I know that we've got some great Twitter followers. One of the best who follows me is the Phony Romo.
Uh-huh.
Love this guy. He's trying to get through. A lot of people are already tweeting back saying, we're trying to get through. How many phone lines do we have, Black Tie?
Only so much we can handle. It's blowing up right now.
Black Tie doesn't understand. Black Tie actually said, I said, let's open up the phone lines and roll some calls in.
He's
here.
Like, oh,
he
it's never going to happen.
We better spend a week doing this. We're really going to have to promote that.
Dave, I am impressed. I have to say. I doubted you, and I'm impressed. That's
in
a lot
your
of people.
Face.
So do we have anyone else on the line there, Black Tie? Because we also are waiting on a call. We're going to be talking to Jake Johnson, one of the stars of New Girl.
Fox, cool.
With Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
I'm putting my list together. I've got to get that up sometime this week. Be on the lookout for this at davedamashek.nfl.com. My proper list of the best, the foxiest movie characters
right.
ever. And I've added Kate Hudson to it from Almost Famous.
Okay.
And of course, we have Grace Kelly right now at number one. Still fluid, still could change, but thinking that one through. So if you want to drop me a line at Damashek, you can let me know. I'm not looking for who is a foxy actress. Do not send me notes about Angelina Jolie. I'm talking about how they looked in that movie. They could be hideously ugly, except if they look good in that movie. Then if you thought Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire was a foxy lady, which you don't, if you did, though, that's what I'm talking about. Mrs. Doubtfire. I'm not talking about.
I got one for you.
Halle Berry, Swordfish.
I've never seen Swordfish, but
I got
Berry's
one for you guys.
Foxy, yes.
What's up,
Scarlett Johansson?
Mm-hmm.
Any movie?
You're not getting into the spirit of it.
Here's
Black
a good
tie.
One. Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
No.
Yeah.
No, I never got the Uma Thurman thing.
I know, but as Poison Ivy,
I'm impervious to it. Okay, we have someone else on the line, Black Tie.
Yep, we do. This is Xavier from I believe San Antonio.
Xavier, what's happening, fella?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thanks for the call, Xavier. What's happening?
I got a little fantasy question to ask you.
Lay it on me.
Interview. Is it smart to start Tony Romo this week?
Absolutely. I mean, that we've seen all season long. It's not like the Eagles have been gangbusters against the pass or anything really defensively. Yes, Tony Romo. He's red hot.
What about Felix Jones? Like, is that...
Yeah, you can run on the
good
Eagles.
Start. Yeah, people are running on them. I think I'm not sure yet. We have to rank you and me have to jump into the DeLorean and go to next Tuesday and see how these games work out. I'm not sure who the winner of that game is going to be, but for some reason I have 37-34 dancing around my head. I think it's going to be a weird game as they generally
Shootout.
Are with those two teams.
Hope their defense shows up. I'm talking about Dallas' defense because last time they got real messed up.
Yeah, DeMarcus Ware, the thing with DeMarcus Ware, and he deserves a lot of the talk that he gets, but, man, he vanishes for entire weeks sometimes. Like, for a guy who's supposed to be as dominant as he is, and in certain weeks he is, there are games that he just is nowhere to be found out on the field. He's got to dominate this game, though, with Mike Vick back now and looking pretty good. But, yeah, to answer your question, I like Romo and I like Felix Jones. Regardless of the outcome of the game, I think that they're going to put up a big number offensively, those Cowboys.
You know, last time DeMarcus Ware faced those guys, he had like four sacks. So I'm pretty sure he's going to have a good time this week.
Yep. And I like the name, by the way. Is it Xavier or Xavier?
Xavier.
That's the way.
I go for the university in basketball, if y'all know that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I like how that sounds. All right, man. Well, listen, thanks for the call and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you guys, too.
Have a good one. I think that was sound. That was sage.
Sound fantasy advice.
Advice here.
You should. Are you on that fantasy show?
I am.
Oh,
NFL
good.
Fantasy Live. I'm on there with you. You should. I would think you would remember that because we've been doing it for two seasons together now. I thought you might remember me having been in there. But do we have any more calls there, Black Tie, that we want to get to, or do we want to get to Jake Johnson here?
I can tell by Twitter that people are trying to get through.
One more. Let's do one more call here, and then we'll dial up Jake Johnson and kibitz with him. Bears fan, this Jake Johnson, apparently. Chicago
yeah.
guy. So look forward to talking to him. And a lot of big movies, a lot of comedy movies. You think mm-hmm. he looks like me, huh?
You know, if we ever do a Dave Damashek movie.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm not going to hold my breath for that happening.
Great.
A Dave Damashek movie. That'd be terrific. Basically, you know what it is? It's basically if you watch Streetcar Named Desire. That's basically what my domestic life's like.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Except it's not in the bayou. It's in Southern California.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Outside of that, though, pretty much. I mean, he and I, you know, Brando and I, Stanley Kowalski, cut a similar figure. You know, raw, unhinged sexuality. What's
so
going to happen
I see
next?
Doctor of Island.
Ray.
Ray.
Right. Ray, how are you today?
What's going on, guys?
How are
What's
you,
up, Ray?
Ray? What's the poop?
I'm doing pretty good. I talk to you guys on Twitter every once in a while. My tag is Fantasy Loser.
Oh, I know yes, you. Yes. Stop with the all caps.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
That's pretty weird, Rank. I'm not making fun. Well, I am making fun, but you may not have enough Twitter followers if you can identify the way they use.
I've gone from 13 to 12 because my aunt finally stopped following me.
Yeah, that was probably the wise move. Hey, so what's going on today, Ray?
The same old. I'm setting up lineup, looking through stuff. I'm in my playoffs. I'm doing pretty good in two out of the three that I started in.
Not me.
So you're calling to brag.
I'm out of the playoffs in all my fantasy leagues. It's been my worst season ever. But anyway, enough about me. What you have a question for us about?
I have a question. Just thinking about all the this last year that we started with all the leagues and everything. How there's been a lot of changes. According with the draft, you know, being able to trade drafts and everything else like that, draft positions more than anything, you know. Mm-hmm. In my league, consistently, I've been playing for, 10, 12 years now. I mean, I started off in salary cap and moved my way through to start doing draft. My real question is basically, I just wonder what you guys feel about maybe releasing the draft order, like maybe a few weeks before the draft, in order to give cheap people a better chance to maybe trade spots.
Of course, you should do that.
Draft better.
My West Coast league, our commissioner Cousin Sal distributes a month ahead of time. I forget how he does it. It has something to do with the daily California lottery. Somehow a numbers are assigned by that, and we find out our draft order. Another way to do it is, and it also keeps everyone engaged all season, all through the off season. I mean, through the back end of the regular season in fantasy football. If your team is 2-10 and you're checked out, it keeps you engaged. Is that you play a loser's bracket in the playoffs when the teams that make the playoffs are doing it. The teams that don't make it are playing their playoffs of their own. Essentially, it's sort of like the NBA lottery, and whoever wins that gets their choice of their picking order somewhere in the draft. If you think the best thing, I want the first overall pick and I won the loser's bracket, I'll take the first overall pick so I can get Aaron Rodgers. Or, I like the back end.
I like the five spot or something.
Yeah, I like that. So I suggest that. But better than all those ideas, do the auction. The auction is the way to go. Once you do it, you'll never go back. The snake draft is fun, but the auction is the way to go. That's a different level of expertise that's required. Do the auction draft in 2012. That's my my advice to you, Ray.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's so much fun. It's a bidding it up, the whole game. You've watched, you've seen plenty of auctions on TV, bidding somebody up,
storage
trying to get
wars.
The price high and everything. It's great, great fun. I can't recommend it enough.
Does somebody in your auction draft act like Ray from, or Dave from Storage Wars, where he's like, right at the last second, he's like, yep.
Yeah. People always do wait till the last possible second. Yeah. 39 going once, twice, 42. You jerk. All right, Ray. Does that help you?
That helps me. Yeah, I was just curious about it because, obviously it's been it's something that I've been pushing for in my league, and as a commissioner in one of mine, it's definitely something I'm going to implement next year.
Give it a try. Go online and take a shot with some of those auction drafts. You'll see that's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, no, I probably will. Next year is the year, though. I tried the mock drafts this year, and it didn't work out. They were too complicated with everybody. You know how the mock drafts are.
Yeah.
Some people just check out.
Sure.
But I'll definitely give it a shot next year.
All right. Well, good luck with that, and good luck in the playoffs, and have a happy holidays. All right, Ray?
You too. Thanks for taking
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
All the
Ray.
Best to you. There he goes. Bye. And now you see, Black Tie, that if we want to take calls, we are able to do so. People actually will call us.
We'll call.
Black Tie seems surprised that, wait a second, people actually listen to the podcast? I didn't think that they did. Black Tie's frame of mind is, I'm required as part of my job to do this, but people actually choose to do this recreationally for pleasure to listen to the podcast? Yeah, Black Tie.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
It happens. It's so, and it's true, though, because, you know, I do only have a handful of Twitter followers, but I get to know these guys.
All right, right now, hold that thought, Rank, because we want to get to him, Black Tie. You have him on the line? All right, great. We have one of the stars of the breakout Fox sitcom hit starring Zooey Deschanel, New Girl. It's Jake Johnson. How are you today, Jake?
I'm doing great.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, first things first, you're on the new hit show. I hear it hailed as America's favorite new comedy. Is that true?
Yeah, we've gotten pretty good ratings and a good start so far. We just got nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Comedy, so we're pretty excited over there.
Oh, well, mazel tov. It's interesting because the other candidate for Best New Comedy is Two Broke Girls. So, you know, girls in the title equals success issue.
Yeah, there's a couple of cable shows with girls in the title that are pretty successful, too, but they're not in our category.
Now, Jake, let me ask you about the star, Zooey Deschanel. Something that Rank and I have been yapping about here of late is I'm putting together my list of the single most attractive character in movie history, female. And, you know, I go Grace Kelly in Rear Window. And okay. I think Kate Hudson in Almost Famous. I'm not saying Kate Hudson, the actress.
Wow, you're going young with Almost Famous Kate Hudson.
I think that's her best role. I'm not. And again, I have to clarify the character, not the actress. It's easy to do. Okay. All right. So I think Zooey.
You like the groupies.
I guess you could paint me with that brush. I only wish we could find some here at the podcast, you know.
Slim pickings out here.
Now, yeah, there's a 19-year-old intern, and he's not he's just not my type, but that's about as close as we've gotten.
A huge football fan groupie is not as hot as Kate Hudson, Almost Famous.
No, indeed. But what about Zooey? Is she – I think in 500 Days of Summer, she might make my list, my top 10. How say you?
That's a great character for her. Zoe's really, I mean, look, I've said it before in press, and you mostly hear actors talk about other actors, and it's kind of obnoxious when they say how great they are and how cool they are, because it feels phony. But with Zooey, it's the real deal. She is so cool and easy to work with and, you know, fun and attractive, and I think she's really attractive in this character, a New Girl.
Does she give you a playground? Does she take chances as an actor, and that keeps you excited? That's what I find always sort of off-putting when I hear actors talking about about how brave other actors are. Are you a brave actor, Jake? Does Zooey give you a playground to spread your wings?
Yeah, I don't know if braveness is the way to describe an actor, because we are wearing makeup. But I will say about Zooey, what she does, I mean, at least for me on set, the biggest thing is, because we work, you know, 14-hour days, 5 days a week, and for me, certain actors take themselves so seriously that work becomes hard to do. And I think what makes Zooey so great to work with is she does bits in between while we're working. Mm. So, like, the guys and I are all doing bits, and if Zooey wasn't, you know, in on the bits with us, it would be fine. It just wouldn't be as much fun. But Zoe's doing as many jokes as with us, so it's the whole day we're just kind of goofing around.
I get that, because Dave doesn't hang out with the rest of the staff while we're kidding around and doing bits in between.
It's not my way. I understand. I have to carry the show, you understand, Jake. I don't have time to you know, yap and waste time and play grab ass with the likes of Rank and Black Tie over there.
Yeah, see, for my job, I feel like it's 15% memorizing lines and it's 85% playing grab ass outside.
Now, so you are you a Chicagoan born and bred?
Yeah, I'm diehard all Chicago sports. I'm Bears, I'm Cubs, and I'm Bulls.
I know.
And I was watching the game when Tebow and, you know, God or Jesus, whoever, beat us in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Who do you credit that win to?
I mean, In real life or in
the however game? You see it, however you see it.
I credit it with you know, what's his name, Prater, the kicker.
Prater, yeah.
An unbelievable 59-yard field goal, which is not easy to make. I mean, I know we're in Mile High, but it's still not easy. I think they have a great defense. I think they have a great team. And I think, you know, Tebow's got a great will to win.
You know,
and
here's
I was
the thing
really
with...
against Tebow this whole time. But after, I mean, look, he's not going to beat the Patriots. He's not going to beat Tom Brady. I don't care how much he prays and how much he's got goodwill on his side. He's not going to win that game.
Agree with
he's
you
a
on that.
Player.
Well, but the thing is with Prater, you just reminded me. You know what I don't care for about him is he's a kicker who's got those barbed wire tats. I mean, that's not a good look on anybody, but especially on a kicker, right?
No, unless it's 1993 and I'm in Catalina Island, I don't want to see barbed wire tattoos.
Yeah, it really is kind of silly, you know. It's that the kicker guy is out there wearing the tough guy tattoos.
Yes.
I agree. Unless I met him in real life and I found out he's like 6'2 and a professional athlete.
Well, in fairness, though, the Grammatica brothers had tramp stamps.
I wasn't aware. Yeah. Breaking
that
news.
That would make that NFL commercial they do way funnier. Yeah. When they walk away, if you see the little tramp stamps on their back.
So what about the Bears now? There are rumors out there that Jay Cutler may come back, but by week 17, it could all be just about done for your team. It looks so good, and all of a sudden Cutler goes away, and boy, the wheels are off, eh?
Yeah, I for me, the problem with the Bears, and believe me, when he got hurt, I was devastated because I thought we're for sure a playoff team. And when it's us versus the Packers because of our history, I do believe anything could happen. I think the Packers and the Saints are clearly the best two teams in the NFC, but I think if we see them in a playoff game, we could beat it. Anybody can win. And when we lost Cutler, the problem with the Bears is Lovie Smith and his loyalty. And it reminded me of Rex Grossman, where Lovie Smith, something in him stops thinking. And he just does that same old rhetoric of, you know, Rex Grossman is our quarterback. We're happy. And he started doing it again with Caleb Haney, who's terrible.
Yeah, Caleb Haney. Everybody was so high on him after the NFC title game that people actually thought maybe Caleb's better than Jay Cutler.
No,
that, over the last couple of weeks, maybe not.
But in fairness to him,
his first game back, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But in fairness to him, there's no Matt Forte to me, which is the bigger thing.
Fair point. And Marion Barber, in fact, forget you said who's the real who's responsible for that victory against Denver, who got Prater, we can name Tebow, God, but it's really Marion Barber III who cost the Bears that game.
Because he's such a great player and he seems to be such a great teammate. And he's literally one of those guys, for me, it's so easy to root for. If you saw that Hard Knocks on him when he was on the Cowboys, when he was a Cowboy, he just seems like such a great teammate and so enthusiastic and works so hard. I'm like, this is the guy. Anybody but him is the GOAT.
I know. You do feel bad for guys like that. It's like when Jerome Bettis, the last play of his career, could have been that fumble in Indianapolis. Roethlisberger obviously took that away, but that would have been the worst ending to any career in maybe in sports history. What about now? It's not just New Girl. You've done a number of high profile comedies and worked with a bunch of big names. What about Jonah Hill's weight loss? Is it disconcerting? Have you seen him since the weight loss?
Hey,
I have. We did 21 Jump Street.
That's what
together.
I was just going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was thin for the picture. I didn't know if Jonah Hill was thin during shooting.
Yeah, he got skinny, and then I think Jonah Hill's a mogul. I think he is really funny, and I think he's also one of those guys that he like directs while he's acting.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's skinny, that means he's probably going to be making movies longer, and I think there's only a matter of time before he's going to get on the other side of the camera.
Yeah, but he said, okay.
And as an actor, for me, I'm like, great, man, produce something directed, give me a look at that.
See, but the thing is he mentioned it when he was in the movie Funny People, that if you're a big guy, you got to remain a big guy.
Yeah, totally.
Nobody likes. But 21 Jump Street, I got to bring this up, and I'm not pandering. I saw the trailer for it, and I recommend anybody who can go out and see the trailer. I typically don't laugh out loud at trailers. The last one, you know, I was into the movie Hot Tub Time Machine. That was the last one. or the trailers made me laugh. 21 Jump Street's like that. Tell us a little bit about it. They went comedy because, like, it was a somewhat serious show. Who's playing Booker, though? Did you guys get Richard Grieco back?
You know, I wasn't there for all the cameos, but I heard they got almost everybody.
Ooh, nice.
That would be
like,
nice.
I know Johnny Depp was there for sure, but I heard they got almost everybody. I was there for, you know, I played the principal in it, so I'm only in a couple of scenes, but I was just down in New Orleans a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, when I heard that they were doing 21 Jump Street, I felt like, you know, like, all right, Jonah and Channing, I think it's a funny twosome, but, you know, you got to wait and see. And even as an actor, like, you're excited to be part of it, but it's the same thing. You don't know how anything's going to go. I think it's going to be really funny. Those two dudes were pretty funny together on set and in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a real weird twosome.
Oh, really?
And in a pretty funny way. Like, Channing, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, no. He comes off great in those trailers.
Yeah, like, I always thought of him as more of just, like, the action guy, you know, but he's a funny dude.
Yes.
I don't like when handsome guys try to do it.
Rob Riggle chews it up in that movie.
Oh, yeah, he's in it, too. Yeah,
Riggle's dynamite, yeah.
And it's great because what it is, it's like Channing is like the dumb jock who was popular in high school where Jonah Hill was kind of the nerd, and now they're both in the police academy, so he's helping them get across. It comes across great. And when you talk about movies, I got something we've been starting to kick around here. We've been trying to pitch the Dave Damashek movie.
We have? Here.
We have, yes.
Behind my
I've
back?
Been doing the, well, we're not.
I have a bad feeling that this is one of those, when they write biographies, the unauthorized. This is an unauthorized movie about
him. Absolutely. You're true right now.
Dunaway. Yeah. Dunaway.
We're not going to bring you into the last bit. You'll get a nice cameo where you just kind of come in.
It's going to be a slam piece like a Joan Crawford. Faye Dunaway is.
But Jake, I think you're the top of my list. If you kind of look, we'll put up the pictures on the website at thedavedamashek.nfl.com. Put it up. I think Jake is a great choice to play you. He's a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think. What do you got? You got some time available? Do you think you have time to come in and read for the Dave Damashek movie?
I mean, let's make a video about the audition process.
Hmm.
Oh, I like it.
I'll come in there, I'll study Dave, I'll go method with it, I'll walk around, I'll pretend I'm like Jim Carrey and Man on the Moon, make you guys all call me Dave and act like I'm him.
Well, so just so you should know, going
that
in,
would be Mr. Damashek.
A few things you should know to get the wheels turning, if I can. Drinking booze is a passion of mine. It's one of my hobbies. It's my favorite hobby, pretty much.
Right.
And, what's your booze of choice?
Well, I like, I'm not choosy, you know.
Whatever the staff's buying for him.
That's right.
Whatever is free, okay.
I like that. And just, you know, if this is going to be an R-rated movie, I don't know how you see this one, Adam Rank. But
there's no way. With the language, it's automatic.
Oh, right. So, yes, it does have to be R-rated. So I assume there will be some love scenes. If there are, you should know this, Jake. I'm a surprisingly vigorous lover, but I'm also a loud lover. So you're gonna want to work that in.
Who's gonna play the lady, Damashek?
Well, I've only convinced my rate of success is about one a decade. So I don't know. So we'll have to figure out who might play that. Maybe we could get Kate Hudson to doll up or maybe you could put in a good word with Zooey Deschanel. That might be
who
fun.
Also we missed the point that she was also in Almost Famous as well.
Oh, yeah,
she was in Almost. She was great in Almost
she
Famous.
She was great.
I think as the older sister in that, that's an attractive character too.
Absolutely.
She had that kind of like older sister in Wonder Years look, that kind of hippie 60s look.
Yeah.
And she went out to be a stewardess.
Yeah.
She got dressed. She got dolled up. Yeah.
I like that.
I would say I would put her ahead of Kate Hudson in that picture.
I would too, actually.
Oh.
Well, Jake, it's been a pleasure, and we look forward to having you in for this audition process. Am I allowed to be a part of the production?
It depends.
Adam,
it depends on how much you really want to be behind the scenes. I think for the true story, it's best told by those who interact with you the most.
I mean, can I say this as an actor who's potentially playing, you know, the man, the myth, the legend?
Mm-hmm.
I would like him around a lot.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think it's important.
I feel like to see how I got to, you know, how Dave Damashek became Dave Damashek, I think it's important to show warts and all. So
yes. I do too. I think we should make a video, guys.
And I want what I
you
want.
You
got
to go back
Adam.
To the homeland in Pittsburgh too. You got to take him back to Primanti's and see how he interacts with the fine people.
I
want to
see you know if Jake Jake is the sort of guy. I mean, he's the sort of actor who I think is willing to take chances, and that's what's sure. exciting about being an actor is finding that. And I like his bravery.
That's why
and
we're going to find an actress who's like a playground.
I'm at Playground and Playboy.
That's exactly right. And speaking of play, one last thing. What do you think about the Chicago Cubs prospects come 2012?
I think by 2014, Epstein's going to take us to a World Series.
2014. All right. You got to get Prince, though, right? Any philosophical issues with bringing Prince Fielder in after he plays an hour north of you guys there for so many years?
No, they just got Aramis Ramirez, our third baseman.
That's true.
The
right?
only thing I'm afraid of with Fielder, and it kind of happened with Soriano, although Soriano's obviously not as good as Prince Fielder. I don't love those huge contracts to guys who are, you know, already in their second big contract.
Mm-hmm.
I like in theory. I like younger guys who are hungrier. I like.
Oh,
know.
Prince Fielder's plenty hungry. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, but I think after that contract, he's hungry for something else.
Yeah, I think what you want is a guy just coming off a World Series who's allegedly 32 signing a $200 million deal.
I mean, that's the dumbest in the world.
Like the Angels. I'm an Angels fan, so.
Let's remember.
What do you think of that?
You know what's surprising? Of everybody here who's not an Angels fan, they were thought it was the greatest thing ever, and I was the only one, the voice of reason, going, wait, we just gave this guy $260 million. And he's 32.
For 10 years.
And he's got no motivation. He's done everything.
He's been the best ever, and like he's starting to age him. Like, look, I think he's going to be really good for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, if we get that lucky.
A 41-year-old Albert Pujols.
Well, it's you know, it really is. It's crass, perhaps, to say so, but you know, without PEDs and steroids and all that
That's
jazz,
right.
we now have a false sense of expectations created by the last 15 or 20 years. This is going to
totally
be
right.
au naturel Albert Pujols when he's 39 or 40, and
awesome.
I don't think that the drop off
that
without
should be in
that,
the contract. Whatever your workout regimen was. Beforehand, you've got to keep it going.
Yeah, well, you know what? NHL they grandfathered in the you came into the league when you weren't wearing a helmet. Okay, you don't have to play in a helmet. Same thing. Oh, you were doing steroids before we banned them. You can keep up. Keep going.
That would be a great rule.
That would be.
You came in the rule. You were cheating. What's fair is fair. You should be able to cheat as long as you're in the league.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, listen, Jake. It's a real pleasure to yap with you. You seem like a delightful fella, and now I look forward to I'm not making you any promises, but I like your way, and I'm going to kiss you into the next round of the star of the Dave Damaschek picture.
I mean, I love it. I'm happy to fight for the role.
All right. In the meantime, we're going to, you know, I mean, I'm not going to make you any promises either about scheduling. You might have to take a little hiatus from New Girl, but in the meantime, continued success with that show.
Thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for joining us.
All the best. Nice guy, Rank.
Really nice guy.
And he seems, I think he's sincere. I think we can get him to work for scale.
Yeah,
If he gets to play Dave Damaschek, it sounds like, you know, it's one of those, it's a passion project. It's not something that he has to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, you know, you
his
do.
Going
well,
great.
You do the big money picture.
Yeah.
As we see on Entourage, you do the big money picture, and then you can do the small project
once
that
you have
appeals
juice,
to your heart.
Right. This is one that he that will just be purely for pleasure and for art's sake.
And can I say something?
The tormented soul that is Dave Damaschek. Who will play you? That's a subject for another day.
If I would say this. If Matthew Perry is willing to put on about 80 pounds, we got our guy. But here's the thing. Can I say something?
Shave his head.
Now that
cheesy chinny beard.
All right. Now that Jake is off the line, let me give you the straight dope about the 21 Jump Street trailer. Watch it. It is. I was.
You
not,
said it. How much can a human being talk about a stinking trailer?
Who cares
about a trailer?
I want people to know that I was being sincere. I thought it was very funny, and I usually watch it and like,
okay,
this is going to be dumb.
Understood.
No.
As it turns out, Adam Rank is not a Hollywood phony. He was being sincere with our guest and saying that he loved his trailer. If you didn't get that in the 17 minutes he spent talking about how great the trailer was. That's it. Black Tie, you were excited about about the Dark Knight trailer, huh?
I was, actually.
Is that what it's called, Dark Knight?
Dark Knight Rises? Dark Knight was the last one. The trailer was great. The prologue was actually even better.
I didn't see the prologue, but I can't wait. And it's only who is this? It's Catwoman and Bane?
As far as we know.
Anne Hathaway, yeah.
The only I don't necessarily have to see the Penguin and all that, but I am a little disappointed. That's my one grievance with this trilogy of Batman pictures. Well, two I have two grievances. One is, I don't know, you know, Scarecrow, although I thought that was great in the first, new one, or the most recent version of these Batman pictures. I like the Scarecrow character. But the other thing is that I can't stand is, why did they have Batman talk in that terrible voice? Christian Bale talks like a normal person, and then when he becomes Batman, he talks like this.
I'm going to get you, Scarecrow. I'm going to get you, Catwoman. Oh, the love we're going to make when I get my mitts on you.
I don't know if that's
creepy.
I don't know if he says that in the movie. But
you know what's good, too?
But why does he talk like that?
Wait, speaking of voices, there's a lot of talk about people being angry about not being able to hear Bane. Bane actually cannot be heard in the prologue or the trailer. His voice is through a mask, and Christopher Nolan's saying he's sticking with it. So
Bane, though, the comic book character, is a tough guy. He's not just a tough guy, though, but he's smart. But we saw in the what was the guy who made the George Clooney Batman? Whoever that guy was, that director, I can't think of his name. Actually, the Batman Forever wasn't so bad, though, with Riddler.
Right.
Two-Face was lame in that one, but I thought Jim Carrey as Riddler was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And Val Kilmer was an underrated Batman.
Absolutely.
Rank the Batmans.
Adam West, number one.
All right.
Michael Keaton's got to be number two.
No, I go Val Kilmer, too.
That's
I know
tough.
People don't like it, but he's the second best.
It's tough. You know what? I haven't seen any of the Christian Bale ones.
What?
I have not.
I'm going to...
It's good. No, because you know what? Because I'm involved.
I'm sorry. I hate to do this with the holidays nigh, but you know what? Take it.
Ow!
Listen, I don't want that to happen. But you know, when you say stuff like that, especially we've been talking about for 10 minutes, and then you choose to lay that on me real quick.
I was going to say because I'm in on the DC comic reboot, and that's one of the ones I read. I read Detective Comics. And I'm glad I haven't seen the Bane ones because it would ruin it, because the voice I actually hear when I'm reading Batman is Adam West. I don't want it disturbed from
that. That is great. Real quick, one thing I want to do, because we've accomplished a lot here with a bonus cast mm-hmm. for you in front of the holidays. And by the way, is there any better gift than that you can give a loved one on the holiday than a subscription to a free podcast with two dopes on it? That's what I encourage you to do this holiday season. It's episode 41. That's what we have to do. We have to name who wore 41 best. Brian 41. Piccolo.
Brian, you know, I was at the Hall of Fame. Now, we went to the Hall of Fame this year, but when I was there a couple of years ago, I saw somebody walking around in a Piccolo jersey.
That's awesome. Brian
That's
Piccolo, for the young people who don't know, Brian's song, the movie about the tragic figure, who Gale Sayers, best friend of the Chicago Bears, who died very young, played by Jimmy Kahn. In the TV movie, he was number 41. Glenn Rice wore 41.
Glenn, of course, he was one of my
the Lakers. Did he wear it?
When
Michigan?
He was with I would have to ask Sarah Palin, but for Charlotte, I know he wore number 41.
Naughty.
But you know what's funny is Glenn Rice to me was always one of those underrated NBA players, and part of it was because he got hurt. But he was so good on those Lakers teams. He was a real key part of that, those first run
sure.
of those titles that I don't think he gets his due. But Dirk Nowitzki probably absolutely has surpassed him. And in basketball,
Wes Unseld.
That's a great
those
one.
Cool old Bullets uniforms. But you got to go Tom Terrific, eh?
Tom Seaver, Eddie Matthews, yeah, one or two. Tom Seaver probably got to be
number. Tom Seaver. Got to be it. Right. I'm trying to think, yeah. Who? I think Fulton Walker. Of the Miami Dolphins wore number 41.
Charlie Waters.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, but Fulton Walker is the first man. Here's a nice little piece of trivia for your next sports showdown at the bar. Get somebody to buy you a beer on this. Fulton Walker, the first man to return a kickoff in a Super Bowl for a touchdown. There's a nice little tidbit for you.
Very nice.
I know my Super Bowl lore.
You
25 and under, I'm gangbusters. You can't. I'm hard to beat. If you go, pretty
That's,
much 30 and
you
under.
You know what? The next time we have callers, we should have them call in with Super Bowl trivia.
Oh, that's good. You know what? I can't believe we had calls and we didn't talk to our old pal, the Ed, my favorite caller of all time. We should have really lined that up as a holiday treat. Next week. How about that, Rank? Next week, we definitely will talk with our pal Ed. And speaking of things that we have been remiss in not doing, the Land of the Fox. Now, the Land of the Fox, in the entire Czech Republic, this is prime real estate. Now, Mount Pius is Tony real estate, but that's for the pious people. You don't want to live up there. And then, of course, there's Lake Cowardice that Adam Rank likes to swim in sometimes. That's true. You know, well, I'm going to ask our guest this. Well, I can't wait to get Steve Smith on the line. I'm going to confront him. And then Steve Smith gets on the line. I say, Adam, you want to ask your question? You're like, no, I don't think
so. We didn't ask. We didn't even talk Clippers.
The timing's not right for that.
We weren't talking about Clippers.
But the Land of the Fox is where only the foxiest.
Wait, did I not call him out for that 49ers stuff?
Only the foxiest foxes reside in the Land of the Fox. And the reason it comes up again is, by the way, in Black Tie, if you don't mind, play just to remind everybody what the song sounds like.
In the Land of the Fox.
Yeah, there you go. The foxiest foxes reside there. I noticed, was it Maxim magazine? Who was it? Somebody named Jennifer Aniston the hottest woman of all time.
Men's Health.
Men's Health. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Now, Foxy, no question about it.
Sure.
You wrote a terrific pick six column about it.
Thank
as
you.
As a matter of fact. But
it was my like-dislike column.
Your like-dislike. I'm sorry. Yes. And I mean, what was the analogy you drew? I thought it was a powerful one.
It would be akin to us coming out and saying the best quarterback in NFL history, Joe Theismann.
Yeah. Good.
Good. I enjoy him. I enjoy his work now. But
not
it's
bad,
like,
but yeah.
Good quarterback. But
Hall of very
like,
good.
Like, he's not the best ever.
Aniston's foxy. Maybe she might make my list, in fact, of movie characters. I liked her in that picture with Clive Owen. She was foxy.
That was a good one. She's the one.
With, that was Ed Burns picture. She's foxy.
And the guy who's on those Geico commercials now.
Yeah, right. That's where he's fallen. Yeah.
That's a national speaking ad. I'm sure he's doing. That's actually pretty
good. Yeah, not too bad.
Because the guy from Oz is the mayhem guy for Allstate.
Oh, right.
The guy who played O'Reilly.
That's right, yeah. I like connecting those dots.
So it's weird. I mean, the problem is, it's that reality television. Not as many paying, you know, acting roles going around because they get Snooki to work for free.
Well, Rank, what we like to do is we like to have Land of the Fox showdowns. Mm-hmm. We vote people in. We vote foxy women into the Land of the Fox. Who shall we tackle this week? Should it be Batman Vixens? Since we just brought up Batman, we could go... Mm-hmm. Kim Basinger, who you could go. I'm trying to think who was in the Adam West Batman. Oh, was foxy. All those cat women were pretty good.
But I still, and I'm with you. I'm not a
Basinger. Nicole Kidman.
See, I'm not an Uma Thurman guy, but her as Poison Ivy was really good. That was perfect for her.
Michelle Pfeiffer. How about that? If we have a showdown, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kim Basinger, and then. Nicole Kidman doesn't really do it for me. What do you think?
Halle Berry? Wasn't she in one of the remakes?
Oh, no, she was in Catwoman. Yeah.
Catwoman.
I'm trying to think, though, real quick. I say that's what it is. Make that our poll question, Black Tie. Michelle Pfeiffer or Kim Basinger? Women who have wooed Bruce Wayne. Those are the two I think we choose from. Because Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, because, you know what? We got to really think about the old.
Thank you.
The old school Batmans had some gorgeous women, and I want to keep them separate.
Ooh, who was Batgirl?
Eartha.
Oh, Eartha Kitt.
Eartha
yeah.
Kitt.
There was also, but what was the girl in the third and fourth Batman? The one with Clooney.
Right, right, right. No, not
Alicia Silverstone. Yeah, she doesn't make it. No, sorry. She doesn't make the cut. So that's it. Go to davedamashek.nfl.com, and you will be able to vote. The foxiest Batman movie woman ever. Is it Michelle Pfeiffer or Kim Basinger? And one shall gain admittance to the Land of the Fox. All right, listen. Have a happy holidays, everybody. Hope you have a good one. Hope you enjoy the weekend of football that awaits us. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Ooh, and don't forget Checky Awards next week.